I have 4 o'clock, so I'm going to start because we like to be prompt. I'll explain a little bit about how this is going to run. I want to welcome all of you to another National Senior Division Instructional Conference call. My name is Janie Degenshine. I'm a proud board member of the National Federation of the Blind Senior Division. I'm also the president of both Seniors and Technology Divisions of the National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey. This session is being recorded. You can find it on our wonderful website, seniors.nfb.org. It'll probably be up there in a day or so. Today's topic is non-24 sleep-wake disorder. And you don't have to be totally blind to have non-24. But if you are totally blind, you're probably at a higher risk of developing it. Today, we're going to learn how to recognize the symptoms, how to talk to your doctor or family and friends. Our special presenter is Jennifer Lyman, nurse and educator, Midwest Vanda Pharmaceuticals. We are pleased to have you share this informative hour with us. We will have the presentation and then follow it up with a Q&A. Take it away, Jennifer.
Okay. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, it's wonderful.
Fantastic. Thank you all so much for having me here today. It really is such a privilege for me. And, you know, as you just mentioned, Janie, many people who are blind can have difficulty sleeping at night, but up to 70% of those who are totally blind are at a higher risk of developing non-24, but you don't have to be totally blind to have it. My name again is Jennifer Lyman, and I do live in the Midwest. I have three other nurse colleagues who I work with. We cover the entire nation. Reaching out to the visually impaired and all of the organizations that support them to share this information. So I'll explain why it's important to know about non-24. I'm going to talk about what causes it and how it differs from sleep disorders because it's not a sleep disorder. So I'll go into the science behind non-24. I won't be discussing treatments or products, but if you would like that information, I can definitely connect you with our health educator. She is able to provide that information for you. I am here really just to talk about the disorder itself. So hopefully by the end of today's session, you'll be able to recognize the signs and symptoms of non-24. Whether it's in yourself or maybe a friend or a relative. And I am definitely happy to answer questions at the end. If anyone prefers to talk to me one-on-one, please feel free to reach out to me. I will give you my phone number at the conclusion of the session. Some people just aren't comfortable sharing any kind of information in front of a group, and I totally understand that. As a nurse educator, my goal is to raise awareness of non-24 through community outreach because it's a rare disorder. It causes sleep disturbances, which can have significant health consequences. I think all of us are aware of how important good sleep is to our overall health, but also because many people have never heard of it, including healthcare professionals. So helping people to become their own advocate is one of my goals, as I mentioned. I live in the Chicago area and I cover the midsection of the country, and typically I'm meeting with people in person. Obviously things are different now. Hopefully we'll be getting back to that at some point this year. So we focus on organizations and support groups within each of our regions, and our health educators who I mentioned can have a one-on-one discussion with people about the specifics of treatments and research and clinical trials that are ongoing. But they can also send out a really nifty free audiobook. It's a self-contained unit. You don't need any special paraphernalia for it. When you open the cover, it starts talking to you. So she can get that out to you. There's no obligation. You can just have that one conversation with her and be done with it. Or maybe you want to continue to stay in touch with her to discuss a sleep journal, and we'll get into that too. We also have account managers. These people go out and talk to healthcare professionals to raise awareness with them and make sure that they understand it and make sure they understand how to recognize that in their patients. So I'll be explaining the body's timing system or the circadian rhythm. And then I'll talk about the specifics of non-24. But first, let me share with you the signs and symptoms of non-24. Those include difficulty falling asleep at a desired time, difficulty staying asleep, and excessive sleepiness during the day. There tends to be a cyclical nature to non-24 and the sleep struggles. So people tend to cycle through occasional good nights, but most of the time they are out of sync and they are not having good nights or good sleep. So people can have just one of these symptoms or they can have all of them. And they range just like anything else in life with their health. The signs and symptoms can range from mild to severe. So I'm sure some people on this call today have heard a presentation in the past, but research suggests that as adult learners, we all need to hear something 5 to 6 times. So repetition is intentionally built into the presentations. It's also one of the reasons we continue to go back and visit with organizations that we've talked to in the past, just so that we get that repetition. And there is a reason for that. Symptoms can appear at any time. So even if you heard something about non-24 in the past, maybe you didn't have sleep struggles at that time, but because our health truly is a journey and things can change, maybe sleep is a challenge now for you or someone you know. Therefore, when you hear this information, you may be hearing it with new ears. So although non-24 can affect up to 70% of those who are blind, like I said, you don't have to be totally blind to have non-24. So let's talk about who is likely to have it. As I said, the people who are totally blind are at higher risk, but it occurs in both men and women almost equally. So even if you don't have it today, it can develop somewhere down the road. People who have some light perception can develop non-24, and people who lose their sight may notice symptoms close to the time when they lose their sight. And fully sighted people can have non-24, it's just rare. So what is non-24? It's a rare circadian rhythm disorder, not a sleep disorder. And circadian is spelled C-I-R-C-A-D-I-A-N. It's a natural rhythm that our bodies follow, and it's been studied for a very long time. But circadian rhythms were actually in the 1940s, it was discovered that our circadian rhythms run a little bit longer than 24 hours. But almost every living species has a circadian rhythm. Circadian rhythms have been discovered in bacteria, flowers, animals. So some people refer to the circadian rhythm as an environmental cycle or clock. So every 24 hours, our bodies need a reset. It's kind of like resetting a stopwatch. And that helps us stay in sync with the 24-hour daytime nighttime cycles or that environmental clock. If we didn't get that reset, we would start getting out of sync with our environment. So because our circadian rhythms tend to run a little bit longer than 24 hours, if we didn't get that reset, those minutes would stack up. If you think about piling up a stack of poker chips or something like that, every day that stack would get bigger and bigger because you'd be getting further and further out of sync with the 24-hour day. And that's exactly what happens to someone who has non-24. The extra minutes from their natural rhythm continue to accumulate every day. They don't erase them, so to speak. And that's the reason they get out of sync. People without non-24 get a reset to their internal clocks every 24 hours. But people who suffer from non-24 don't. So if you think of two stopwatches side by side, people who do not have non-24 get to hit that reset button at the top of the watch. So the hand sweeps around the face of the watch, but every 24 hours, that button on top is reset. For people with non-24, there's no reset button for them. It just, that time just continues to move forward. So for those who don't have non-24, their circadian rhythm cycle tends to be about 24 hours. And a cycle is different from the circadian rhythm itself. The circadian rhythm is our internal biological rhythm. And the cycle is the amount of time it takes for us to get back in sync with the 24-hour daytime, nighttime cycle. So the cycle for someone with non-24 is not 24 hours. It can be a month, it can be 2 months or longer. So if you think about when you wake up in the morning, if you picture yourself at a starting line of a race and you take off when you wake up and you're running on a track, you're going to come back to that starting line in 24 hours. You have cycled around and now you're going to get that reset. For someone with non-24, once they start, they may not be back to that starting line for 2 or 3 months, because that's how long their cycle is. That's how long it takes them to get back in sync with our environment. So their clock is continually running forward. It never stops moving forward, and that's what we call drift, and that's what tends to push them out of sync with the environmental daytime, nighttime cycles. So their stopwatch, so to speak, never stops running. Therefore, the time that they are in sync with the rest of the world is short and temporary. Eventually, they do get upside down with days and nights. You might hear someone with non-24 reference that. And that means that 10 a.m. feels like 10 p.m. to their body, and 10 p.m. feels like 10 a.m. So the reset that we need for our natural rhythm is light. So that helps us to stay in sync with the 24-hour world. And that little area in the brain that controls that is called the master body clock. It controls our circadian rhythms and it tells our bodies when to do things. So almost everything that happens in our body happens at a certain time for a reason. And one of the things that our master body clock controls is our body temperature. It tends to be lower in the evening to help us sleep. Our heart rate's lower, our blood pressure's lower. All of those things help us to fall asleep and stay asleep. It also determines the timing of our sleep and wake patterns. So when we're aligned with the 24-hour day, it drives sleep during night. And with non-24, the circadian rhythm is driving sleep on its own timing, which is not aligned to daytime, nighttime cycles. But our bodies also do a lot of repair and growth while we're sleeping. It's the time when our bodies are rejuvenated. So our hair and nails tend to grow at night. Our skin tends to be repaired. So sleep is really important. The master body clock also regulates the release of hormones, one of which I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard of, and it's called melatonin. That's a hormone that's naturally occurring in our bodies, but you can buy supplements over the counter. I'm sure that's where you've seen it. And that helps our bodies to get ready for sleep. So melatonin in our bodies naturally peaks in the evening. And that's telling our body, hey, it's time to get ready for sleep. So our master body clock needs a signal or a cue, if you will. And that signal, like I said, comes from light. It doesn't matter if it's natural sunlight or artificial light. That light tells the brain that it's daytime and it's time to start our day. And conversely, sundown and turning off lights in the evening tells the brain to get ready for sleep. So that light signal or cue is the reset our internal clocks need every day to stay in sync. So like I said, it sort of erases those extra minutes from our individual and unique rhythms. So all of us have different individual rhythms. Some run maybe 24 hours and 5 minutes. Someone else may have a rhythm that runs 24 hours and 30 minutes. No matter how long your circadian rhythm runs, when you get that reset, you've hit the button on that stopwatch and you're back at zero. So you're back in sync with the daytime, nighttime cycles. So that helps us to be awake and alert during the day, and it helps us to fall asleep and restore our bodies at night. So what happens if the brain doesn't get that signal? If the brain doesn't get the light signal, our internal rhythm gets out of whack. It's not reset. And that's when our natural rhythm, our circadian rhythm, takes over. So as I said earlier, our natural rhythms tend to run longer than 24 hours. For those who suffer from non-24, the extra minutes accumulate every day, just like that stack of poker chips. So if they're 30 minutes out of sync today, tomorrow it's going to be an additional 30 minutes. So now they're 60 minutes out of sync. And pretty soon they're 8 hours out of sync and then 12 hours out of sync. And that's how they get upside down with their days and nights. But they're continuing to drift forward. They're always drifting forward. So occasionally and temporarily, they do get synced up with that 24-hour day. If you think about that person who is starting at that starting line when they wake up and they take off walking or running, they eventually do cycle back around, maybe every month or 2 months or 3 months. So they do get that temporary alignment with the environmental day. But it doesn't last long because they're continuing to cycle forward. So their bedtimes typically drift later and later each night. So it could be if their bedtime is 10 o'clock tonight, maybe it'll be 10:30 tomorrow. The next night it's 11 o'clock and so on. They tend to have difficulty falling asleep at the desired time, but not always. But that's why you may hear people with non-24 talk about being awake and up in the middle of the night. They're so awake that they're up doing chores or they're working. So that's part of that whole being upside down with daytime, nighttime cycles. So obviously it's a very frustrating situation, and it really presents very real challenges to anyone who's working a 9-to-5 job or going to school, or they have social obligations. It's not that they lack any discipline. Their bodies just are out of whack with the daytime, nighttime cycles. So they're probably releasing their melatonin at the wrong time because their brain hasn't gotten that reset. So their melatonin, instead of peaking in the evening, can be peaking early in the day and vice versa. So let's talk about how our bodies get that necessary light signal. The eyes are the obvious pathway. So light enters the eyes, and then it's captured by a group of specialized cells. They're called ganglion cells. They're different from the rods and cones, but they're photosensitive. Those cells then send a signal to the brain, telling it when it is daytime and when it's nighttime. And the brain then sends a signal to the body to either be awake or asleep. So without light perception, there's no signal sent to the brain. And consequently, there's no signal sent to the body to sync up with the 24-hour day. So I hope that makes sense. That's why people who are totally blind are at a higher risk of developing non-24, because they may not be getting that necessary signal sent to the brain. So people with non-24, like I said, tend to be out of sync most of the time. So it is extremely frustrating for them. People who have non-24 and are retired, I've talked to people who are retired who have non-24, it's not a bother for them. They've adapted to it. They don't have a schedule to stick to, and that's great. But for people who do have a schedule that they need to be on, it can be very challenging. So before I go any further, let me do a quick recap. So our rhythm, the circadian rhythm, is controlled by the master body clock, and it needs to be in sync with the daytime, nighttime cycles of the environment. Light's detected by the eye, and it sends a signal to the brain, the master body clock, which resets our daily rhythm. That resets our clock. Our brains rely on those light signals from the environment to keep us in sync with the 24-hour world. So light resets our stopwatch, if that makes sense. All right, so we'll talk about non-24. Non-24 is considered a chronic condition, which means obviously it's not going to go away. And it's characterized by, here's the repetition again, difficulty falling asleep, difficulty staying asleep, and difficulty staying awake during the day. It cycles, so there tends to be a cyclical nature to those patterns. And the symptoms come and go, but the sleep struggles are very real. People can have one of those symptoms or all of them, and they can range in severity. Non-24 can definitely lead to serious sleep disturbances, which then can lead to sleep deprivation and difficulty concentrating, irritability, and even depression. So studies have been done on how detrimental sleep deprivation can be. I'm sure some of you have heard about those. And I'm sure we all know how lousy we feel when we've been up all night where we haven't gotten good quality sleep. If you've pulled an all-nighter, you know it may take you a day or two to actually get caught up. And that feeling is a constant for people with non-24 because they're out of sync with the 24-hour day most of the time. People with non-24 sometimes say they feel a little isolated because most people in their lives don't understand what they're going through, even their own families, and they feel stuck in a never-ending battle of sleeplessness and exhaustion. So if someone who has non-24 doesn't know anyone else suffering with non-24, you can see where that would tend to lead to a sense of isolation. There's no one really to talk to. And non-24 can sometimes be very disruptive to an entire household. So for people who lose their sight later in life, they tend to be a little more aware of changes to their sleep schedule. But for people who were born blind, they may not recognize that because their schedule has always been off. And most of us do have a regular sleep routine. We go to bed at approximately the same time every night and get up at approximately the same time every day. As I mentioned, those people who do have non-24 are experiencing a constant forward drift. So that drift means their bedtimes drift forward. And as bedtime drifts forward and later each night, their awakening in the morning drifts later. So if they didn't have an alarm clock, they would see that their awakening in the morning would tend to drift forward as well. And that cycling forward is a constant. It just never ends for them. People with non-24 commonly need to take naps during the daytime, sometimes a couple of them. And sometimes they're short naps. Maybe it's 10 or 15 minutes. Some people may need to take two or three of those, but I've also talked to people with non-24 who share that when they take a nap, they're down for like 2 or 3 hours. So that's a significant chunk out of your day if you're needing those long naps. They're constantly moving forward between regular and irregular sleep times, which can be very disruptive to anyone's life. I'm sure you can imagine. So let's review again the characteristics of non-24. There's difficulty falling asleep and staying asleep. And depending on how out of sync someone is with the 24-hour day, that usually determines how much difficulty he or she could have falling asleep. So if someone is recently in sync with the 24-hour daytime, nighttime cycle, they may not really notice terrible symptoms, but as they move farther and farther out of sync, that's when the symptoms become more pronounced. So people with non-24 can actually get into bed at their desired bedtime, but lay awake there then until 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, or get out of bed without having had any sleep at all. They also report difficulty staying asleep. So they may be able to fall asleep at their desired time, but they wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and they are ready to start their day. So that is one of the things that contributes to the sleepiness during the day. Not only the sleep deprivation, but the release of hormones maybe at the wrong time. So again, depending on how out of sync someone is with the 24-hour daytime-nighttime cycle will usually determine the severity of the symptoms. And when I talk about sleepiness during the day, this is a strong urge to sleep, sometimes uncontrollable, and like I said, sometimes requiring multiple naps during the day. I've had people share with me that they have fallen asleep just momentarily while standing up. They're in the kitchen and they go to reach for something in a cabinet and they nod off. And one lady told me that she actually fell to the ground and that's when she woke up. So I did mention that there tends to be a cycle that these sleep disturbances will present, but not always. I've talked to people with non-24 who don't recognize that cyclical pattern, but they will share that there tend to be some good days when they are aligned with their 24-hour daytime-nighttime cycle, but because their internal rhythm is constantly moving forward, those sleep struggles reappear as they drift out of sync, like I said. So there will be some days when those with non-24 sync up and that time does not last very long for them. So a person can have one or all of the symptoms and they can range, like I said, from mild to severe, but it's not a sleep disorder. So let me share some information on some common sleep disorders that I'm sure you're familiar with. One of which is insomnia. And that is the difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep or both. So that sounds familiar, right? It tends to be caused by another disorder, and one of those disorders can be non-24. But it can also be considered what doctors refer to as a primary disorder, meaning it isn't caused by other factors. The cause is the main difference between insomnia and non-24. Non-24 is an internal circadian rhythm disturbance, and insomnia can have many possible causes. There's medication and diet and stress and environment. So that's a conversation for you to have with your doctor if you suspect that's an issue for you. Another common sleep disorder is sleep apnea. So you'll hear people talking about needing a CPAP machine. That CPAP machine is to help treat sleep apnea. It's a breathing issue where breathing periodically stops during the night. And if you think about, so if you compare sleep apnea to non-24, sleep apnea is not enough oxygen reaching the brain, whereas non-24 is not enough light reaching the brain. But sleep apnea can also leave a person feeling very sleep deprived. And sleep apnea can be diagnosed with a sleep study, whether it's done in a hospital or at home. I understand that there are kits that they can send out to the home now. But for non-24, there is no diagnostic test. So a diagnosis is based on the information that you share with your doctor. Someone with non-24 can have these sleep disorders in addition to non-24. But sleep disorders tend to be stable, meaning that they occur night after night, whereas non-24 tends to follow a cycle. So I'll wrap it up here and give you a few points to ponder. I would say to anyone, if you're having difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep or struggling to stay awake during the day, you may have non-24. It can definitely impact a person's life, especially if someone is trying to maintain a schedule. But I would say, when anything negatively impacts your life, it's probably time to talk to a healthcare provider. So I would encourage anyone who is struggling with their sleep to have a conversation with their health provider. It doesn't have to be a specialist. It doesn't even have to be a doctor. If you have a nurse practitioner who you feel comfortable talking to, initiate the conversation with them. I would also encourage you to have a conversation with our health educator, if for no other reason, just to get additional information sent out, including one of those audiobooks. We're not asking you to self-diagnose, but they can give you pointers on how to start that conversation with your healthcare provider. And one of the ways you can do that is to start a sleep journal. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy, but just keeping track of how many hours a day or night that you're sleeping. Did you have to take a nap? How do you feel when you wake up, either in the morning or after you nap? Those are important things for your healthcare provider to know. And I would recommend that you journal for 2 or 3 months, because if you truly do have non-24, like I said, people with non-24, it may take them a month or 2 or 3 to cycle through and get back in sync. So if you're on the long side of that, and it takes you, let's say, 3 months to get back in sync, you want a journal that will be capturing as much information as you can. So you don't have to sign up for anything if you talk to a health educator, but if you're interested, let me know, because that person can talk to you about lots of options that I cannot. So like I said, non-24 is a disorder that's diagnosed based on a pattern of sleep disturbances. So you want to be as descriptive as you can be when you're talking about your symptoms. When you say that you don't feel good when you wake up in the morning, well, what doesn't feel good? Do you wake up with a headache? Do you have difficulty concentrating? Are there days where you feel extra irritable? Do you have difficulty concentrating? Those are the things that are important for your doctor or nurse practitioner to know about. So again, my goal is to raise awareness in the community through meetings like this. And I would encourage you to reach out to me if you know of a support group that you think could benefit from this information. And I told you I'd give you my phone number, so I'll do that now. I'll give you a second. Even though I'm in the Chicago area, I have a Washington, D.C. Area code, because our company is based there. My phone number is area code 202-875-4714. Thank you all so much, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jennifer. That was wonderful. A lot of information. And I think you explained it pretty nicely, because even I understood it. No, anyway, I'd like to encourage anybody that's in the audience listening, or at your home listening, if you have any questions, to kindly raise your hand and we'll recognize you and we'll unmute you, and you can offer your questions now to Jennifer. So Miss Ruth Williams from New Jersey has a raised hand. So if we can unmute her or send her something to request or unmute, you would have the floor.
Okay.
I think you're in, Ruth. Maybe not. Is there anybody else with a question or a comment?
I'm sorry, I'm unmuted now.
There you go. Yeah, very good.
It was telling me the host was not allowing me to unmute. So.
Okay, well, here you go.
I don't know what I did wrong. Jennifer, interesting talk. I heard that you said there's really no diagnostic test to correct. Find out if you have non-24. My son has POTS syndrome. It was the same sort of thing. What doctor do you recommend starting with? I guess just your regular doctor, or is there a sleep specialist that you'd recommend?
Oh, that's a good question. Really good question. I would recommend starting with someone you're comfortable talking to, because they may want to refer you to a specialist, or maybe not. I'll give you an example. My dentist actually figured out, you know, when you go to a new doctor these days, you have to fill out such a lengthy form. And so he asked me, he said, when's the last time you had a good night's sleep? And I'm like, huh, probably a year ago. So he dug into that and he you know, prescribed a sleep study for me. So I'm going to have one of those done and see what it shows. So the conversation with your healthcare provider is important. But I would recommend that you get as much information as you can about non-24, if that's what you suspect, and share that with your healthcare provider, or ask our health educator to have some information sent out ahead of an appointment, so that your healthcare provider has that information to reference. Non-24 is a rare disorder. So most healthcare professionals, if they've heard about it, maybe they heard a commercial, but they really don't know much about it. So, you know, one thing that nurses are really big on is really getting people engaged and helping them to be their own best advocate when you're in there. We all know that you don't have a lot of time to chat with your healthcare providers. I find that nurse practitioners are a little easier to get a couple of extra minutes out of, but by and large, they are tied to a schedule. So make the best use of that time with your healthcare provider.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I see Linda DeBardinas has a raised hand, if we can send her a request. Okay, Linda, are you unmuted? And is there anybody else? You can raise your hand at this time.
Now,
I think she's unmuted, yeah.
Very good.
Is there medication that they can give to to
non-24?
Yeah, to conquer this problem?
There are definitely treatments out there. I just am not in a position to talk about them, but our health educator is. So, do you want me to connect you to a health educator, Linda, to get that information?
I think I would prefer to get the CD or whatever, you know, the audio version first of what you were going to send out.
Okay. Why don't you reach out to me after this meeting?
I will.
And I'll make sure that I get one to you, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Very good. Anybody else with a comment or question? Boy, oh boy, all three of these are New Jersey people. You gotta love New Jersey. Vincent E. Lorsa, the raised hand. I love it. Oh boy.
Hi,
of course, a little. Hi, sweetheart. Yes.
A couple of questions concerning this. What's the, I know that as time goes by, as the clock ticks, our body respond differently, you know, whereas, you know, before, you know, we could do with 5-6 hours of rest. Sometimes some people, you know, need now 10, and some people that used to sleep 10 now need only 4 or 5, et cetera, et cetera. Is there a role that habits can trigger this particular syndrome? The role of exercise also, does it have anything? Are there any studies that you know, show any relationship between that, eating habits, you know, time when we eat, that's pretty much it.
Okay, yeah, those are really good questions. So a lot of what you're asking about, Vincent, really circles around to good sleep hygiene. I can't go into too much detail about that, but you can Google it. There are some things you can do to help your brain and your body get ready for sleep. So, and everyone does experience some change in their sleep habits as we age, but non-24 is caused by a circadian rhythm disruption. So it's not really tied to aging, the changes that we see to our sleep habits as we age. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure, it makes sense. But what about items like eating habits? You know, the time when one has a heavier meal, and the role of exercise and even meditation, for example.
The medications I can't talk about, and I can't really go into too much about good sleep hygiene. But there has been research done that indicates that a regular exercise routine can help you with your sleep. So I would encourage you to Google good sleep hygiene.
Very good. Thank you. And actually, good exercise regimen helps you with not only sleep, but when you're awake, right? So it's really the good thing to do, right? It's important. Either way, my question, this is Janie Degenshain speaking. My question is, for those people that work from 11 to 7 at night, you know, they kind of cause themselves to have, it doesn't probably change their circadian rhythm, but they're backwards also. How would somebody like that fit into this regimen?
Awesome question. I should have mentioned that during the talk. So there are other circadian rhythm disorders, and one of them is shift work. So as a nurse, when we are working the night shift, which I did, which is not a good time, your sleep does actually change dramatically. And for me, for some people, they have no problem adapting to that. For me personally, I was only getting 2 or 3 hours of sleep at a time. And our bodies really benefit most when we get a good chunk of consolidated sleep. So, you know, I'm talking about 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep, you know, not the 2 hours here and there. The difference between non-24 and shift work disorder is that it's a behavior that is causing the disruptive sleep for people who work the night shift. Another circadian rhythm disorder is jet lag. So, you know, when we cross over other timelines. So the difference between jet lag and shift work disorder is that our bodies eventually do get caught up. So when you're traveling, you know, when you've been at your destination for a couple of days, the daytime, nighttime cycles kind of reset that clock. It may take a couple of days, and it really doesn't take that long when you come off of night shift to reacclimate, because now you're allowing your body to sync up with the daytime, nighttime cycles based on exposure to light and darkness. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Right.
Very good. Anyone else with a comment or a question? Seeing none, I'm going to take this time to do a little infomercial about the senior retreat. The National Senior Retreat will be held in September. You'll be getting some information about it. The National Senior Retreat will be virtual again this year. We had a wonderful time last year. Jerry Neely, who's doing this Zoom hosting tonight or this afternoon, I'm sure will be again doing it. He did it last year. And so I'm putting him on the spot. But in any event, the three people that asked questions and myself, all four of us were at the senior retreat last year. So that's interesting. I like that equation. I don't know if that's circadian rhythm or not, but anyway, I had to get that in there.
Hey, Janie.
Yes, honey.
What was the dates on that?
It's September. This is Judy. It's September 19th through the 26th.
And I will be in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, hopefully.
Well,
go for it. We're gonna have swimming.
Going on a cruise.
I'm gonna find good a way to function without you. It will go on.
I will definitely have some good people to have support you guys.
Thank you. And we will have that recorded so you can check in.
Oh, wonderful.
In any event, I just also want to remind those people on this call that next month's call is happening sooner than we think. It's actually going to be on May 5th at 4 p.m. The topic is going to be gardening. The presenter is Dan Green from Idaho. He happens to be blind. He's about 78 years old. He's completed his certification to be considered a master gardener. Find out what that means and join us on May 5th on the same Zoom link. So if you got in today, you can get in on May 5th. I want to thank you all for joining us, and stay well, stay healthy, get outside, breathe, smile, be grateful, and maybe you too will not have any worries with your circadian rhythms. Just be grateful. And I wish that the best for all of you. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on the next call.